understood why these people said open-minded. Like, of course Giannis is open-minded. He hates Milwaukee. Dame Time is overtime.
I mean, yeah.
He's going somewhere else. Why?
He's got to end up in New York.
He's open-minded. The buck stops there.
He's got to go to New York and not Brooklyn. That doesn't count. That's like going to the Mets.
Yeah, ew.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, man.
Seriously,
no one cares. Don't do that. No one cares.
It's like, you know, hey, I'm going to Chicago. Playing for the White Sox.
Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving all went to Brooklyn.
Yeah, you fizzle cares. Out. Oh, yeah, I can't wait, man. I'm going to go to play in L.A. Oh, the Dodgers. Anaheim. Oh.
Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then who owns the Brooklyn Nets?
That's right.
Part owner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
All those guys in, it failed?
Not good. Didn't work well. No.
Same.
Can't wait,
man. When they
man.
Played, it was fun.
Gonna go play basketball in L.A.? Oh, the Lake Clippers.
Yeah,
oh.
What did we see at the zoo that day? We were helping do some stuff with
Somali
Odyssey.
Wild ass.
We saw the kid wearing a Brooklyn Durant jersey.
Kevin Durant. Brooklyn
and I,
was,
I looked at you and I said, do you think he knows where Durant plays today? And you're like, no chance.
No way.
Yeah.
No. Where does Durant play? Oh, technically Phoenix, right?
Technically Phoenix.
But he's gone.
That's gone.
I mean, that's
gave him the franchise for him.
Do you think they'll give it like Durant and Giannis to the Knicks?
That'd be fun. No, probably not. Nah,
Durant has worn out his welcome in New York. He has shown he can't handle Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Someone tells you Durant's going to the Lakers with LeBron.
Could see it. People have talked about it.
I feel like they'll go Luka, LeBron, and Durant. No, they don't need that.
They need a big man down there who can defend the rim.
Yes.
Like, who is that guy?
It's not Achimura. It's that guy needs to be more outside.
Yeah, they don't have that guy right now.
No. They need their Pau Gasol.
Yes.
They need their Shaq.
Yeah, those guys are not
coming
back.
They need Giannis.
Those guys aren't coming back. They need Giannis.
Giannis to the Lakers. I mean,
that's better than Giannis to the Knicks. And I know that.
Is it though? If the Lakers were in the Eastern time zone,
LeBron,
yes.
Luka, and Giannis.
But how much longer is LeBron going to be there? You
2 years.
Yeah, 2 years probably.
He's getting paid a ton of money to play this year.
And then Bryce will be in the league.
Think he's going to usher another son?
Yeah, his son will be in the league.
It's
in 2 years.
Already there.
That'll be his last year.
The
him
pavement
and Bryce.
Has been laid. Yeah.
Where will he be playing that last year to get his son on that team?
If it takes Charlotte, you know,
so like a Wizards with Jordan type thing. Like if LeBron ended up in Charlotte for the last year, oh my God!
I'm gonna win a ring for the king. tonight's game four, fellas. Bob's already out. He thinks it's over. He thinks the Knicks are done. They're not going to win another game again. That was his overreaction at 6:30.
Yeah.
And then you immediately just jumped right on his wounds and were like, I agree, Bob. I think that's a really good take. I think the Celtics are going to win every game the rest of the series.
I know. It made me feel worse that Bob had the same.
Go ahead, boys. Take over.
Well, I mean, you just saw the lackluster performance.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an opportunity for the Knicks coming home up 2-0 to put on a hitting display, as they like to say. And they went out there and they just fizzled.
Dud.
They just dissipated like that storm back in February. You know, like it just slowly faded away. And I was like, you showed no effort. You showed no like desire. It was just a heartless game, if you will, by the Knicks. And I don't understand how you can play that poor with Timothée Chalamet in the audience.
He's such a stud, dude.
Oh, he's a beast.
He's become like the number one fan now. People love him because Spike Lee went to a wedding instead of a Knicks game last
he's
week.
He's getting killed for
and
that.
And Timothée Chalamet like skipped something and went up
skipped
to Boston.
Skipped the Met Gala.
That's right. He skipped the Met Gala.
Yeah.
So did LeBron. He put out a release. and he did. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be there. My knee hurts. Oh, thank you for sharing that, Mr. James. But like Chalamet skipped the Met Gala and went to that. So he's like the number one fan. And they just came out and they just fizzled. It was a very lackluster, unsettling, non-impressive performance. And so from that standpoint, a Shark Tank would say, I'm out.
Somebody told me the Texans to hammer the Knicks 6.5 tonight. I said, really? Question mark.
Wow.
So I need some more. I need just a little bit more of that. Because I'm looking to bet something tonight. I don't know if it's Royals in Houston. I don't know if it's Diane Houston. I don't know if it's Celtics Knicks.
Yeah.
But I got to bet something tonight.
It looked like to me like the Knicks.
It's one just, game though, right?
It is. But like it was one of those games where Boston went, all right, enough. Like Patrick Mahomes, second half. All right, enough. We're done playing around, you know.
Yeah.
And they took over and they won. And there's something about that winning pedigree and knowing how to win and being there before and able to turn it on that, you know, just kind of impresses me with Boston. And so that's kind of like I told you when they were up 2-0. This isn't nothing new. I told you when they were up 2-0. This is fake news.
Yep.
Right. Like this is not legit. And you're up 2-1 now. Boston just put a shellacking on you. How do you bounce back from that? You had great opportunity there, great success, and didn't take advantage of it.
Let me tell you something, Bob. It comes down to Jason Drew.
No, I saw a tweet that I thought was good. It was like, Celtics play great, they win. Celtics play good, they win. Bad, they win. Okay, they win. Celtics play historically awful, they lose by one.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's kind of what it's been so far. And so I think the Celtics are going to have it. I will say what I told, I'll tell you what I told Dusty off the air. I think tonight is going to be the quote-unquote best game of the series. Mm-hmm. I think we've had, you know, game one was awesome, game two was awesome, but for four quarters, none of the games have been great. I think tonight's games, great endings, but for four quarters, I think tonight we're going to get a close, intense matchup. I think the Knicks are going to bring it.
Yeah. Celtics by 20. I mean, but Saturday was useless. That game just did nothing, right?
Did a lot for me.
Well, yeah, you got excited because you're back in it, but it just wasn't a good game.
No. I think tonight's a good game.
Okay.
I believe so.
We'll like to see what happens there.
Yeah.
Knicks plus 6.5 is minus 110. Celtics are minus 258 on the money line. The Knicks plus 210. Over under the game is 208.
And those numbers, by the way, last week that Shapiro sent out were wrong. He issued a...
Did he?
Yeah, okay, he goes, I screwed that one up pretty big. Yeah, where we had the Knicks like still, like, you know, whatever it was, minus.
I was like, you read those numbers, and I was like,
Later in the day on a Friday news dump, yeah, he corrected himself on those. Whoops, I got that wrong.
That's exactly what you said, because you're like, well, if that's the case, then we're going to get some email that says I was wrong and I had wrong numbers, and of course that happens.
Yeah, later in the day we did, and so be it, you know, just sweep it on. It's no big deal. It's that people make mistakes, but I felt like that should have been the odds still for that series, even with the Knicks up 2-0. I'm like, that didn't surprise me, even though they were hellaciously wrong. Still didn't surprise me because Boston's pedigree.
I'm back on the Celtics and six train. Something that does make me nervous is there something to be said that everyone's kind of like, even you're like, everyone's like Boston.
It's
like
probably
the Knicks are that team. We don't really know how to calculate it. It's not objective. It's not on paper, but they have some sort of magic switch that happens in the last 10 minutes of a game, and they've shown that now.
Yeah, they have. They absolutely have, and you like to see that magic switch happen when the ball is tipped and don't find yourself down 20, yes, but you know, that's just me. You know, but I don't know. We'll see if it's a game. Hopefully it's a game tonight, but...
Needs to be. I need 7. That's all I ask. I just need 7. I want this to just keep going.
No, I get it.
Don't end.
And I will say this as we wrap up this segment. Nobody televises a sport better than TNT does with basketball. And,
enjoy it.
You know, it's over, right? Yeah. And I saw this morning they're losing $1.1 billion per year in ad revenue by not having the NBA.
Ouch.
Now, what would they have spent on the NBA to get that?
Fair.
You know, I don't know. But $1.1 billion a year is a lot more than they would have spent, I think, anyway, you know, in those rights fees.
Broadcast teams are long-term investments.
Yeah. Like
you're going to continually have that money. You're going to spend that money one time, and then you're going to continuously make that money hoping that these guys stay great.
Right, exactly. And the TNT, like, you know, before you got over on Saturday, Mac and I were watching that ESPN pregame show, and I don't know if we were like two cocktails deep or whatever it was, but we're like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like Stephen A. Smith, who I really do like, was like, they gave him like Valium or something before that show. And he was like really just kind of just calm. And it was boring.
He was nervous.
It was boring.
It was weird. Yeah.
It was a very boring show. But TNT, like, you don't have to be, again, you don't have to be an NBA fan to understand the production value, the chemistry, the broadcasters, the talent, the behind the scenes folks. A stagehand for theirs guy died yesterday, and they showed it, and it was like all family was involved, and like how much all these guys mean to each other. Like,
That's awesome.
The whole production of TNT and the NBA is awesome. And look, ESPN's a worldwide leader. They can't hold a candle to what TNT does, from their play-by-play and analysis guys to their halftime to their pregame. You don't want to get up at halftime because you want to see what Charles is going to say.
True.
Their production from top to bottom for sports, I think, is the best production value out there right now.
I mean, it's just they're real, they're true, and they're honest, which is basically all the same thing in one, you know, sentence in three different words. But like, you either watch it for, you know, the entire show. You see what Ernie is going to do to Shaq or to Charles. You see what Charles and Shaq are going to say to each other. And then you see how Kenny's going to either run to the board. There's so many things.
And then you have Kevin Harlan and Ian Eagle as your two announcers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my God. I mean, but the production value's good. Everything that TNT does is top-notch. It is the best sports television product out there, pound for pound, dollar for dollar, production-wise. I know the NFL is great, but like some of these NFL shows are missing a lot of different things. There's nothing missing from that TNT broadcast, whether it's the pregame, the game, the halftime, or the postgame. Nothing's missing.
There's nothing missing from our next guest. That's Josh Furnier. He'll join us on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Long-time listener and supporter of you because you tell it like it is.
Here's our Royals insider, Josh Furnier.
Hey, let me tell you something here, man. These Royals, man, you want to talk about they don't win good games. They play teams, they win. That's all that matters. As we join now by Josh Furnier, our Royals insider here on 96.5 The Fan.
Is that me and Binkley combined?
It's Gruden and Binkley.
Let's tell you something about Surfside, Vern. Zero troubles, not zero troubles in Colorado, but black and fire.
How many of those did you house this weekend, by the way?
We had a lot of perfect weather.
I mean, dude, you can't beat it, dude, you know? No. Gosh, man. So are you still getting it? Like, are you still getting the they can't beat good teams, they only beat bad teams, but God forbid they have the second most wins in the American League.
Yeah. If they can get themselves out of this skid that they're in, where they drop 2 of 3 to Boston on the heels of 16-2 stretch.
Right. They've only won 5 of their last 7, Vern. I don't know what the hell you're smoking this morning.
You know what it is? I'm not getting it from the 85,000 that turned up this weekend. Right. I am hearing it from the occasional texter tunes in for the final 2 innings of the game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, honestly, I was really impressed on Saturday with how quickly the fans turned the page after that 10-1 drubbing. And last night, I think once that game went final, everyone went, all right, Mom, God, let's go out to dinner. You know, yeah. Let's start focusing in on Mom. No, there really wasn't as much sky is falling, Chicken Little feeling amongst the fan base. Despite, a game yesterday, to me that was much more frustrating than the 10-1 defeat, where sure, the Red Sox were just better than you in every single facet on Saturday. Yesterday, going into that game, I thought it was going to come down to the Royals' big bats against Boston's big bats, their top four against your top four, and as it turns out, the Royals' top four go 1-for-16, 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
Boston's top four went 6-for-15 with a pair of bombs and all 3 runs driven in. So Devers and Duran and Abreu were just better than Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. There's no shame in that for one day. Hopefully, if they meet again in October, things are different. Well, we know the team will be different because everything that JJ and John Sherman have done speaks to an aggressive mindset from this organization. So, sure, did I want the Royals to take 2 of 3 to silence those doubters? No doubt. But the team that we're going to watch on August 11th is going to look a lot different than the team we just watched on May 11th.
There's a couple of things that I kind of want to touch on that you talked about there in a couple of different things. Number one, we're in a spot in our profession where we're exposed to more of the vocal minority of the naysayers, yeah, right? Like, yes, that's just this medium text line, people complaining, it just lends itself. We just happen to be the people that receive the brunt of that. Because you had mentioned the 85,000 that were out there. We were out there yesterday. There wasn't a person that was upset about anything. Everybody was excited about the ballpark. And so that's kind of where you have to draw that line. Like, I think at times we get exposed to the negative, so we think that's kind of a common theme. I don't believe that's the common theme for Royals fans out there or baseball fans out there. I just believe that's the negative fan that's always looking for the last shoe to fall instead of embracing the good, because they're afraid if they embrace the good, they're going to be hurt on the other side. But also, Vern, like, I think people also need to understand John Sherman is not David Glass. We got to keep pounding that one home because people are still so burned by the Glass era.
Yeah, I do think there is some validity to not John Sherman is David Glass, but we in Kansas City are at a disadvantage against what Boston used to be. I don't know what they're doing right now, but the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, you know, there still is that inferiority complex when it comes to a game where there is no salary cap. And for as aggressive as John Sherman is, you know, for as much as he's willing to spend, there's still, you know, middle of the road when it comes to Major League Baseball. So, yes, yeah. Listen, maybe it's going to take a world title for people to completely come around on ownership. Maybe that never happens. Maybe, you know, average sports fans are never going to truly embrace a billionaire. And you know, I guess I can understand that. And as far as the vocal minority is concerned, the way that I look at it is, you know, if you work answering phones for the cable company, you think nobody's enjoying your product.
Right, exactly.
Because you never hear anyone call up and go, hey, everything's coming through clear, loving it. See you later. No, that doesn't happen. And thankfully, it has happened on the post-game show. We are getting people calling up saying, hey, I had a great time at the game tonight, me and the kids. Made memories that we'll never forget. Sure, the Royals lost by 9, but they'll get them tomorrow. And it's easy to say that because every time you're feeling bad for yourself after a tough Royals loss, you look at the probables the next day and you go, oh, Michael Wacha is one of the 15 best pitchers on the planet so far this season. So is Chris Bubich. They make the next two starts as you open up a series in Houston without Yordan Alvarez. So it's tough to sulk too long when you have the best pitching staff in the American League, a pretty strong defense, and of course, the best player on the planet who, yeah went through it yesterday, left a few ducks on the pond, but man, Saturday, bases juiced with two outs, Bobby at the dish, he's unable to come through. I dare the Houston Astros to put him in that spot tonight.
Well, and that's the thing. You'd mentioned the Stars stepping up for the Red Sox over the weekend, and that's where games are ultimately won. Like, people can complain about the Renfros and whatever of the world. When your Stars play big, you win those games, and we're not
talking
about
that's the playoffs last year, Bob.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I mean,
Judge carried them, and then cost him.
Right.
The Yankee Stars were better than the Royal Stars. Honestly, I know nobody wants to hear this, but that's what this weekend series reminded me of. It reminded me of the ALDS where, you know, the Royals pitching was good. You know, there was plenty to like. It's just the other team executed at a higher clip and your strength wasn't able to punish the opposition, right? You go back to that ALDS last season, and the Royals' rotation was good, but that was their strength. That's how they bullied people, and it didn't do that against the Pinstripers. You look at Boston, and like you said, they just out-executed you, and fortunately, you're going to have plenty of other opportunities to right those wrongs against really good teams, most notably Cleveland and Detroit. And come October, like we mentioned, man, it's going to be a different-looking team, whether that's an offseason or a trade deadline acquisition or a promotion from within.
Ooh, do tell. I kid. Vern, just can you shut
John
it down?
John Rave.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Does the kid go from double A to triple A today?
I hope so. I hope so, but
would be the day they would do it. It would be a Monday, wouldn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Omaha on their way back home. To me, and again, I'm not sitting there watching all nine innings. I'm not watching the body language of Jack Caglione. The scouts know a lot more than I do. But looking at the box scores, it doesn't seem to me as if the challenge is where you want it. I always go back to Dayton Moore, and you know, he would say that you can only grow as your competition grows, right? You're only going to improve as much as your competition improves, and it seems as if the Texas League is no longer offering that type of competition. For Jack Caglione, who's also holding it down, five starts in right field and yet to make a mistake.
So let's talk about where you're at on May 12th. With what you think this Royals team would need and where you would go shopping for it?
Well, we all know what they need. Mm-hmm. They need a middle-of-the-lineup bat. Ideally, you have someone to hit in that 4 or 5 spot. Maybe you bump Salvi down or you give Salvi some proper protection. Just reading even this morning, I think it was Buster Olney put out a piece about the July 31st trade deadline, and he said the outfield market is likely to be thin. The teams that already stink don't have a lot of talent.
Right.
Bob's mentioned Taylor Ward. I brought up Luis Robert. Jim Bowden brought up Jorge Soler.
Yeah, Soler.
It's It's all the same names, but the thing I keep going back to is I don't remember one person in 2023 saying Cole Reagans. Cole Reagans is the trade piece that everybody should be going after. I don't remember one person last year going into the trade deadline saying Lucas Urseg is the best reliever on the market. Go get him. So
we wanted somebody else from Oakland, didn't we?
And I'll still take Mason Miller. That dude's still nasty, but I can't imagine they're going to let him get away. My point is, I have trust in J.J. Piccolo and the rest of this front office, and there's just so much time. Hopefully, when the deadline is approaching, right? They didn't bring in Cole Reagans. And remember, in 2023, the Royals jump-started the trade deadline by bringing in Reagans, trading Aroldis Chapman, which, by the way, I don't think Salvi gets enough credit for Cole Reagans. The only reason why he's here is because of the relationship that Salvi and Aroldis Chapman have. That's what brought Chapman to Kansas City and ultimately what brought Cole Reagans to Kansas City. So another reason to celebrate Salvi's 35th birthday. My point is hopefully when we get towards the middle of June and the beginning of July, hopefully this team is still very healthy. We're not even thinking about adding pitching. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the goal is still add to that lineup. Add an outfield bat. Hopefully someone presents themselves. You know, you need some teams to falter. I'm still hoping that the Giants nosedive because I would love Mikey Yastrzemski. I think he would fit perfectly
on this
team.
That's a good call by you, dude. I really like that ad.
There's just so much time, though. You know, hopefully Mikey Yastrzemski is still playing well. You know, for as much as people are talking about Luis Robert, does that guy even love baseball? Are we sure we want to bring that type of a talent, yes, but that type of a personality into this clubhouse? Would Salvi be able to rein him in? I mean, there is still so much time before we get to the trade deadline. So much can happen. I mean, shoot, the Royals went from having the fans diving off the bandwagon to 3 weeks later, the bandwagon is overflowing as the Royals have one of the 3-4 best records in the American League. All I know is this, whatever ails this team heading into the deadline, The front office and ownership will address it. They've done it every year since they took over.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I remember when J.J. took over, and I think you and I made it very clear that J.J. wasn't Dayton, and that's not a shot at Dayton. That was I don't even know, it's an explanation. Like, J.J. is not going to do the exact same things that Dayton has done. Dayton didn't do the exact same things. Nobody's somebody else, right?
Right.
So everybody was like, oh, they're just hiring Dayton's assistant. It's not going to be anything different. But if you just start from the day that J.J. took over to where we are now, he's been nothing but aggressive in adding to this team and having an owner that allows him to go out there and be aggressive and add to this team. And the other good thing about JJ too, that I really like, he's not sitting there in his office, not that Dayton was, but you know, he was not sitting there in his office going, well, these fans are out of control. We don't need a bat. Like, he understands they need a bat just as much as anybody understands that they need a bat. They showed you that this offseason. They tried to acquire bats this offseason. It just wasn't something that was feasible. And they still know. They knew in spring training they needed a bat. They knew before they broke spring training they needed a bat. They know today that they need a bat. The problem is Pittsburgh and Colorado are really the only two teams out of it, and we're probably not getting O'Neill Cruz.
Right, right. And Colorado, you know, Yeah, I mean, the one guy you might want is too young, and I don't think Colorado would let a Brenton Doyle go. Mm. You know, Miami stinks, and I don't think they have anybody that you would be all that interested in either. The Angels, the whole Jorge Soler conversation, I don't get. I don't want a designated hitter.
I like
it being able to bounce between Vinny, give Bobby the occasional DH day, Salvi and whoever else needs a day off their feet. Yeah, Jorge Soler, it's just so wild to me. And you guys remember when he was here that fans couldn't get him out of town quick enough. Right. They traded him to Atlanta for some A-ball pitcher that I don't know what he's up to now. And that was celebrated. Finally, we've ridded ourselves of Jorge Soler. He goes on to win the World Series MVP. 4 years later, we're begging for him to come back and save this lineup. No, I mean, ideally, Michael Massey picks it up. You need what we've seen from Vinny Pasquantino here in the month of May. That needs to continue. Jonathan India looking more like the India in Cincinnati with an on-base percentage in the month right around 350. Stay healthy, collect wins, and maintain a cohesive clubhouse. That's really all that matters for the first 2.5 months of the season. And they're winning. For the most part, they're healthy. Hopefully we get some good news on Hunter Harvey over the next few days. And that clubhouse is only growing tighter. I think when the season's done, we're going to look back on April. And for as much hair pulling and hand wringing that we did about the offense in the month of April, I think that's ultimately going to be remembered fondly because of how it brought a close team, a team that Michael Lorenzen calls a family after what they went through last October, going into New York, going into Baltimore, dealing with the fans. They were already tight in spring training. But watching Jonathan India and Vinny and Michael Massey keep their heads up, maintain a team-first mentality despite their own individual struggles, I think that just continued to bring a tight group even closer to together. So when another six-game losing streak arrives, much like what happened in April, you're not going to see this team hang their head, get down on themselves, or start to question their talent. Show up the next day, move on, and arrive at the ballpark expecting to win. That's exactly what I'm bracing for tonight.
Vern, last one. Houston for three, then St. Louis for three at home. Ooh, St. Louis looks like they've kind of figured some stuff out. They're now 22-19. Houston 20-19. But that pitching staff that they're going to face this week against Houston could be a test to see if this offense can really turn it around. What's got your mindset on this week's action?
Offense, you know, I'm hoping that the guys at the top can, you know, utilize that short porch, the Crawford boxes in left. You want 3-3. You know, ideally take 2 of 3 from St. Louis, and if you only grab 1 in Houston, I guess I'll be okay with that. But again, win by any means necessary, but also play quality baseball. Really, that. That's what I'm hoping for in Houston. Continue with the great pitching and the outstanding bullpen, the solid defense. I'd like to see the base running get cleaned up. You know, I appreciate the aggressiveness, but I don't need Vinny trying to take the extra 90 feet. I don't need Mark Canha trying to take the extra 90 feet. If Mike Cal or Bobby get thrown out on the base pass, fine. Yeah, I want them ultra aggressive. So I would like to see the base running get cleaned up, and then of course the big bats at the top. Those are the only two things that are holding this team back from being a perfect ball club. And you know, that's the thing that always makes me chuckle on the post game show is the Royals can win 16 of 18, and we're going to nitpick the base running, we're going to nitpick this or that, and it's a reflection of a fan base, and all fan bases want their team to be perfect. You don't need them to be perfect this early in the season. You don't need the Chiefs to be clicking on all cylinders in week 4, but it is nice to see. So we'll see about the base running at the top of the lineup. If those two things get cleaned up, nobody's stopping this team.
What's the zookeeper giving away this week on the show?
Brady Singer, Ellie De La Cruz coming to Kauffman Stadium in a couple of weeks. I got tickets to Tuesday's game and Wednesday's game, and you can win those tonight beginning at 6 o'clock.
Hell yeah. It's a late game, starts tonight at 7:10. Vern, we appreciate the time, and keep doing you and keep being the guy that you are, because I love that.
Hey, I love you, Dusty. Thanks.
There it is.
Thanks,
there
Vern.
There it is.
Thank you.
My guy, Josh Vernier. Give it up for him. I love that. Let's see the base running clean up. Right? Let's see the advantage. Is that what's going to happen if they do have a good offense? Well, they played in Houston.
Some schedule releases coming out right now the NFL. Well, Ari Meyerhoff did tweet this one out. We haven't seen actual games yet, but Peacock will have NFL will have a Peacock only game on Saturday, December 27th. So you can circle that as a Chiefs game. I mean, unless they're playing on Christmas again, but I
exactly.
mean, it's a Saturday night standalone Peacock game.
Give me that game.
That's
over Christmas.
That's probably going to be a Chiefs game to help Peacock grow their subscribers, right? That just screams Chiefs.
Yes.
Got Chiefs written all over that one, right?
NFL nerd, there are two more games will be announced later today with Fox and Prime Video, like you just mentioned. Like the Peacock thing's getting out. Everything's coming out.
Starting to all kind of flow out there a little bit
NBC,
right now.
NBC, Monday, May 12th on the Today Show. Fox, Monday, May 12th. Prime Video, Monday, May 12th. ESPN, Tuesday, May 13th on Good Morning America. CBS, Wednesday. Netflix, Wednesday. Netflix is going to do an announcement?
Oh, of course. They got the Christmas games they got to
I know,
announce,
but how does
right?
Netflix, do they just tweet it?
Like, oh, where are they? Because
like you're
do
watching
that?
Like yeah. the Today Show. You're right. watching Fox. You're watching.
It doesn't say where they're going to announce the Netflix.
It just says Netflix Wednesday, May 14th.
Well, maybe there's put out a press release. I don't know. Or maybe they do it on Good Morning Football or something like that. Here's a little nugget for you. This is going to get you excited. You're already yawning over there, Mac. I can see we're moving the needle for you today. God forbid we talk a little bit about one of the best baseball teams and Mac's falling asleep.
No.
This kickoff game, you're really excited about this Eagles-Dallas Turd Bowl that's going to take place on Thursday night to
Who's
open the season.
Sex with Jerry Jones?
Philadelphia last year against Dallas was 2-0. We all know that. They outscored them 75-13. Shaping up to be, this is going to be a nice one. Nice little poop burger they're going to give you on Thursday night football. Jared Jones rolling into Philadelphia. 35-3. Eagles win.
Would we rather have that on that Friday morning, or would we rather have the 35-31 overtime?
35-31 overtime. Well, I mean, there's two ways to answer that question. From a sleep standpoint, you'd like a 35-0 game, go to bed, forget about it. But from an entertainment standpoint, you absolutely want like a 35-32 final where somebody kicks a field goal at the end to win it, and you know everybody's excited, and you know you had a great football game. But Dallas hasn't delivered anything good since the 90s.
Well, the reason I ask is hating on them is more fun. Watching Dallas? Them fail, yeah.
Oh, I love watching them fail.
Yeah, they come out and just lay a turd in front of everyone. That'd be pretty fun, too.
Be pretty good. George Pickens screaming on the sidelines.
Yeah, already week one, him and CD yelling. Yeah,
Dak can't get the ball past the 20.
Schottenheimer looks lost. Everyone's who's this guy?
Can't call timeouts or something. Who was the stooge they had a couple of years ago that like embarrassed himself right out the gate on national TV? And I was like, oh, my. Oh, it was that guy in Denver, the other guy from Kansas City. Hackett.
Nat Hackett.
Yeah, Nate Hackett.
Yes.
Cam Hackett. Yeah. Yes. So Schottenheimer, Hackett on the same staff. Hackett was coaching for Schottenheimer back in the 90s. Hopefully Brian Schottenheimer embarrasses himself like Nate Hackett did in that first game on national TV. We got that looking forward to it. But I mean, Philadelphia and Dallas is the first game is about as interesting as...
Yeah, well, we'll go 6 months without football and everybody be ready for Dallas and Philadelphia come Thursday night.
Actually, they're going to be ready for the Chiefs and Chargers on Friday night, I think, more than anything, because that could be a good game.
It's going to be awesome.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
Chargers-Chiefs is the AFC West version of the Philadelphia Cowboys in the NFC East. So, I mean, it's just a hot take. I don't know if that's true. One guy's turning into an old man. The other one's coming back to the four-letter network. We'll explain here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, raw reaction, because you don't know what I'm going to say to you. One word to describe Shamir Stewart's action so far, the 17th pick in round one that sat out drills at rookie minicamp because he doesn't have a contract. The team's offer fell short as to training camp roster bonuses.
Okay, there's a couple of directions, but you want one word. Stupid is the word that I will use. Stupid. because here's the deal, sir. Contracts for your rookie year, your rookie drafted, they're slotted, so there's much negotiation that can take place here. Kind of like we're pick 17. This is kind of what you're going to get. And if you don't like that, go buy a book of insurance, names and go sell life insurance, because this is kind of the way in the NFL. This is not 2005 all over again where Sam Bradford's going to, come in and take $50 million off the plate. We've changed those rules, sir. So you were drafted 17th overall. Here's the slotted money. If you don't like it, go work as a crossing guard, because we need crossing guards. We need bus drivers for the kids. We need teachers for the schools. There's a lot of other jobs that you can do that may get you the joy and love that you want, as opposed to signing your rookie slotted contract with an NFL team.
Mac, you got one word on this situation?
I'd go bold.
Yeah. To say the least.
Yeah, bold. Because, I mean, other than like bonuses, there's not really much flexibility. Like you were alluding to, Bob, I really don't even know what he could like a bonus, maybe.
Like you made the roster,
like signing bonus.
The June 1st roster, so you get the.
There's no bonus. I mean, you're a rookie.
Yeah, but you get your signing bonus, so maybe he wants more in a signing bonus. Like maybe that's what. Like I don't know
again,
what else you can even
slotted.
Talk about.
There's not a lot of room for negotiation here. That's why they're like, oh, so and so signed up, big deal. Now this guy's holding out. It's like you're not showing up to mini camps and whatnot. Like who drafted him?
The Cincinnati Bengals.
The Bengals.
The Bengals.
Oh, the Bengals did. That's perfect. Right. It was the Bengals. It's perfect. Yeah. Yeah. This is Cincinnati.
So in
that
perfect.
Perfect. Yeah. like, don't be stupid. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, because you could easily be cut and moved on from, and them owe you nothing at this point in time, right? Like, the Bengals could say, we don't want you. You know what? Negotiations are over, pal. We just wasted our 17th pick, but it's better than having you in this building. And if you're going to come in here as the 17th pick and not want to sign because you don't like the terms of the contract, best of luck getting one on the open market that's going to match your needs.
Talk to you later.
Old school. One of these, one word to describe this man's career that he plans on going down. Tom Cruise says, my goals are endless and wants to do a musical before it's all said and done.
Oh, I'd love to see it. Love to see him try. Honestly,
Do you think he'd be good? Like, no. I've never heard Tom Cruise sing.
I haven't heard him sing.
Yeah, so I don't know the answer to that question, if he would be good
or not. He's singing Jerry Maguire.
Does he?
I mean, there's a scene in the car where he's singing, but I mean, I don't know if it's good.
I mean, that's not like getting up on stage and doing 17 show tunes and, you know, all that kind of
dance.
Stuff.
I could believe that. Athletic. He's determined.
Yeah.
He's small.
He is small. No, that's a big thing. Like, he could be like Peter Pan.
He can move.
He really could.
No, yeah. I'm serious. Yes. Like, if they're going to do a reboot of Peter Pan, which is about time for Broadway, right?
He's a tenor, but yeah.
But he could be Peter Pan.
Yeah.
You know, I know they had, like, Tim. Mary Martin for that, but not Tom Cruise could be Peter Pan.
He should do Fiddler on the Roof.
Could do that. Yeah.
He's Gavroche.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see what he does. I'd be interested in that.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then Tirico, he's just, get off my lawn now?
Mike Tirico, I guess, has become the get off my lawn guy who's mad that the talking heads on ESPN, not the game analysts, like the first takes, to get ups, to all that kind of, the talking head shows like we are, but on TV, he's mad that they announce who they're fans of. And I love it. I love the fact that Greenberg's a Jet fan, and you can watch that pain and kind of feel that pain every week from him. Right. It's on right now. I like the fact that people are open with who they are fans of. It makes these shows more relatable. They make them more enjoyable. You get the human nature side of things. I think that adds a lot to this. You know, I understand going into a game and you're calling Knicks versus Celtics tonight, you're not supposed to take a side with all that because you're not supposed to be a biased broadcaster. But when you're hosting studio shows and having commentary, that personality side of things is what drives it. Like, you're coming to this show because you enjoy the three of us, our personalities, who we are. It's not necessarily about the content per se. It's more about, hey, you like us. We want to hang out with you guys in the morning. You like us because we're Chiefs fans. We're Royals fans. We're here in Kansas City. You like that. That's kind of the national networks as well. Why am I going to watch ESPN versus something else? And I like watching the personalities squirm and melt and, you know, kind of get all upset when their team loses. I think it's a fun kind of, you know, insight into things.
Yeah, I mean, I do love that. I don't know. Like, I was still pretty little when Dennis Miller was doing, like, Monday Night Football, and it was just kind of like
he was not good.
No, but I mean, but he was himself.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He was just like, I don't care. Like, I thought Kornheiser was good because he was just like the grumpy old man, like that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, you know. Like you said, who was it? You that said that Stephen A. Smith looked like he took a vacuum. Like,
I was like,
come on, man. Like,
yeah.
Be you.
Like,
lean
be
into
you
this
on that
Knicks
pregame
thing.
Show. Like, yeah, it was
be
almost
annoying.
Like they told him not to do that.
It was.
It was what?
No, it was muffled. Like he said, yeah. It was like they told him, hey, just keep it in house today.
Yeah.
I wish they would do that.
I like when they have former athletes on there and they're defending their teams and all that kind of stuff. Like
that's why I think the best future of the booth would be Marshawn Lynch and Jameis Winston being play-by-play and color commentators.
Yeah.
But what in
play-by-play and color.
Yeah, dude.
Just put the two of them in the booth and let them go. It would be entertaining.
Yeah, just be like, all right. And then Ocho Cinco's sideline reporter. I mean, you don't know what you're getting.
I'm open.
Yeah, but you know, Ocho's rooting for the Bengals. And you're fine with that, as he should be rooting for the Bengals. You know,
Marshawn's going to root for the Raiders, and he's going to root for, you know, Seattle, maybe. Who knows who wins his root for?
Right.
But that's the best part. Like, yeah, I'm with you. You got to let, like, raw emotional personalities bleed.
Like, the landscape of sports casting, if you will, has changed so much over the years from where it used to be, you know, all buttoned up to jackassery is to kind of where we are now and having fun with it. You
and
know?
Then talk about how, you know, you don't like going to press conference games. you don't get to be yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta be like, that was a really nice play.
Yeah, like
when like you're at your house, you're at the game, you're like, F yeah.
It's why I go to most Chiefs games now with tickets, or I sit in the crowd at Royals games. Like, you can be that fan and you don't have to be up there in the stuffy press box where you're not supposed to be rooting for people. Like, I realize that, you know, since COVID, I haven't really quote unquote covered a game since COVID, because it's just I lose a lot by being at the game as opposed to being in the crowd or watching it on TV or experiencing what the fans are experiencing.
But you're missing out on that delicious potato salad.
That's okay. I'll pass on that. Like, we're in it with the fans. If we're up in the press box, what are we really? We're not relating to the fans by being up there. We want to have our raw emotion. I want to be sitting with Ralph. I want to be sitting with my wife. I want to be tailgating. I want to be doing the stuff in the parking lot. I want to be having a good time at the games.
After that Broncos game?
Yeah.
Levitating, like, running out of the parking lot.
I mean,
was
like,
awesome.
Just like the whole thing about just having that fan side of things just adds so much more as opposed to
levitating.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely was.
Yeah. Man.
Levitating out of the parking lot.
And then and then proceeded to show me as if I didn't know what levitating was.
Yeah, he's trying to explain
like,
it back
it's like
there.
It's like Scott Stapp and Can You Take Me Higher Creed video.
Can you take... Sipe, wasn't it?
Stapp.
Stapp it was?
Scott Sapp. Stapp, Sapp.
Who is...
Chiefs and four.
Yeah. Like, yes. There was another guy, Sipe.
He got his ass kicked by 311, too.
Who was talking
so much of... He was, yeah, Scott, oh, Scott Stapp was talking a bunch of smack to Peanut and Nick.
And Peanut follows me on Twitter.
That's good. Cool.
And both those dudes were like, hey, why don't you just like shut your mouth? And it was like, yeah, we'll just do something about it. Oh. And then they just like, you know, went after his ass.
Creed's still around though, aren't they?
God, yeah. They got a resurgence.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came here. Cody.
They did. Yeah. No, like they got like born again. Like it's, and then he's so cringe. Have you seen his videos? Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Scott, and I want to talk to you guys about how I'm feeling
the
today.
The rock fingers.
No, but, oh, it's always rock fingers,
yeah,
dude.
Baby.
And then he wears, like, leather pants. So not David Lee Roth leather pants.
Oh, did you see those the other day?
The snake? Yeah, you thought you're... I mean, it's like, dude, why did you not wear underwear with those pants?
Men's
you look
wieners.
Like me in eighth grade.
How could you get underwear under those pants?
At what age do you have to cut leather off?
That age.
I mean, like,
yeah, I mean, that age,
Margaret,
right there,
I don't need to see you, you know? I don't need to see him anymore.
I mean, so, David Lee Roth, give him credit for going out with those pants on. I need a pair of those.
No, you don't.
No,
no you don't. No. I saw everything I needed.
Win, Jim.
I felt more close to David Lee Roth in my entire life than seeing that video than I ever need to see him again.
Oh.
Pretty sure he's coming to Grinders.
Yeah, he probably is. Rich Eisen going back to ESPN now because they've announced their director consumer thing. Mm-hmm. They're calling it ESPN.
Okay.
That was the story over the weekend. ESPN has announced their direct to consumer.
Worthless tweets is Wednesdays.
that's what they're calling it. They're going to keep the name a secret. Nobody's going to know about it. They're calling it ESPN.
Mm.
Big fail. But we got Rich Eisen going back to ESPN's direct-to-consumer thing.
Also a big
fail.
Are
you paying for that?
What, ESPN?
It's like $30 a month is what it's going to be.
No.
No.
I mean,
no.
There's a lot of stuff I should probably be paying $30 a month, and I'm not paying that for like stuff I should be paying for.
Yeah.
Not happening. By the way to go, guys. Way to go. Way to go, guys. Tom Cruise in Rock of Ages. How dare you not know that he wasn't in a musical?
Yeah, I did see that, and he totally sang in that, too. It's a good movie.
Good job. I didn't know that was a real movie. I thought he only did Mission Impossibles.
It's like Russell Brand and him, a couple other people. It's funny. Yeah, it's fun.
I don't know if I feel about Russell Brand.
Fair.
I'm not sure about that guy.
You don't
like
that
sure.
guy?
I'm sure.
I'm sure. Yeah, I think I'm out on that guy. I mean, forgetting Sarah Marshall was hilarious. Yeah, man, so when I hired up, I didn't say anything because they went flamed in times. Wait, what? Like, you have an STD? Yeah, but it wasn't worth it to say anything, you know? Oh, God. Coming up on the other side, I want to get into what Lance McCullers had to do with this weekend. Plus, we get into more scheduled rumors from the Chiefs' schedule and other schedules and why Bob is still mad about Dallas. We'll get to that on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.